Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, you govern all things both in heaven and earth. Mercifully hear the supplications of your people, and in our time grant us your peace. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen.
A reading from the book of Deuteronomy. Moses summoned all Israel and said to them, "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own people. You shall heed such a prophet. This is what you requested of the Lord your God at Horeb on the day of the assembly when you said, 'If I hear the voice of the Lord my God any more, or ever again see this great fire, I will die.' Then the Lord replied to me, 'They are right in what they have said. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their own people. I will put my words in the mouth of the prophet, who shall speak to them everything that I command. Anyone who does not heed the words that the prophet shall speak in my name, I myself will hold accountable. But any prophet who speaks in the name of other gods, or who presumes to speak in my name a word that I have not commanded the prophet to speak, that prophet shall die.'" The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Great are the deeds of the Lord. They are studied by all who delight in Him. His work is full of majesty and splendor, and His righteousness endures forever. He makes His marvelous works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. He gives food to those who fear Him. He is a
A reading from the first letter of Paul to the Corinthians. Now concerning food sacrificed to idols, we all know that all of us possess knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. Anyone who claims to know something does not yet have the necessary knowledge, but anyone who loves God is known by him. Hence, as to the eating of food offered to idols, we know that no idol in the world really exists, and that there is no God but one. Indeed, even though there may be so-called gods in heaven or on the earth, as in fact there are many gods and many lords, yet for us there is one God, the Father, from whom all things and for whom we exist, and one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom are all things and through whom we exist. It is not everyone, however, who has this knowledge. Since some have become so accustomed to idols until now, they still think of the food they eat as food offered to an idol, and their conscience, being weak, is defiled. Food will not bring us close to God. We are no worse off if we do not eat, and no better off if we do. But take care that this liberty of yours does not somehow become a stumbling block to the weak. For if others see you, who possess knowledge, eating in the temple of an idol, might not they, since their conscience is weak, be encouraged to the point of eating food sacrificed to idols? So by your knowledge, those weak believers for whom Christ died are destroyed. But when you thus sin against members of your family, and wound their conscience when it is weak, you sin against Christ. Therefore, if food is a cause of their failing, I will never eat meat, so that I may not cause one of them to fall. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus and his disciples went into Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, he entered the synagogue and taught. They were astounded at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. Just then there was in the synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying with a loud voice, came out of him. They were all amazed, and they kept on asking one another, "What is this? A new teaching with authority? He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." At once his fame began to spread throughout the surrounding region of Galilee. The gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Good morning. Our gospel reading this morning is from the first chapter of Mark. In fact, we will hear a lot of what Mark has to say this year, since we are in year B of a 3-year lectionary cycle, which is mainly dedicated to this gospel. Mark is considered to be the first gospel written. So Mark has been given credit in creating a new literary style, gospel writing. However, the other gospel writers didn't follow Mark's example of being concise and to the point. We are only in the 21st verse of the first chapter, and we've already heard about the preaching of John the Baptist, John's deferral to Jesus, Jesus' baptism, Jesus' 40 days in the wilderness, Jesus' temptation by the devil, and the calling of 4 of the disciples. Thank goodness, though, Mark finally slows down. He's beginning the meat of his story, Jesus' ministry. Today's reading is Mark's first example of Jesus going out to preach and heal. Currently, Jesus is in the city of Capernaum, which was a fishing village with a cosmopolitan flair near a major international highway. It was located in Galilee, on the northwest shore of the Sea of Galilee. Jesus entered a synagogue and began preaching. Now, I doubt he just walked in unannounced. More than likely, he had communicated with the equivalent of the senior warden and was invited. Also, even though it has only taken us 5 minutes of reading of Mark to get to this passage, the amount of time that has passed is probably months. Jesus' reputation has probably started to spread. Many of the people in the congregation have heard about him, but probably have not met him yet. There was probably a sense of expectation and excitement to hear and see who this wonder boy is. And although I use the term wonder boy tongue in cheek, there was probably a mixed opinion about Jesus. It's easy for us to fall in the trap that he was always at odds with the religious leaders and that he was always the hero of the people. However, he wasn't there yet. Remember, this is still very early in his ministry. Some people were probably singing his praises. Others were probably saying he's just like all the other con artists out there who claim to be able to perform miracles. And the rest were just waiting to see for themselves. He began speaking, and they were immediately mesmerized and astonished. We don't get to hear what Jesus said, but we hear some of the responses. The response Mark wants us to notice is that they talked about how Jesus spoke with authority, not like the scribes. And although this may not have been meant to be a dig at the scribes, I don't doubt that it stung. It may have led to some of the later conflicts Jesus has with the scribes, as they were immediately put on the defensive. The scribes were not just people who scribed, but they were very educated religious leaders who took their job of transcribing the law and writing commentaries on it seriously. The scribes were considered very important and were given deference and seating in other customs. Any challenge to their authority would damage their social standing, and the ones who were in it for the ego and power would resist strongly. And the scribes did not see their job to be new and innovative. Their job was to keep things the same, interpret the scriptures consistently with the past. So what did Jesus say or do that convinced the people that he was speaking with authority and not like the scribes? When the scribes spoke, they used centuries of tradition to retell and reestablish the religious norms. Jesus spoke with confidence and assuredness of one who knows. He didn't need to rely on past commentaries. He brought up new subjects like loving God, loving your neighbor, being servants, preaching social justice and power inequality, and doing the right thing. And more significantly, he talked about those things as being more important than following the letter of the law. We don't know these details from this specific reading, but we do know them if we cheat and peek ahead at the readings coming up over the next few months. Jesus challenges the people and the scribes not to be literalists, but to think, to understand the message that how you treat people is more important than being stuck in the law. For instance, in the next few chapters, he challenges the Pharisees and scribes on such topics like fasting and the Sabbath. Fasting is not about showing off. It is a personal decision to help some people come closer to God. It's not for everyone, and it's definitely not to be a tool to show everyone how religious you are. Honoring the Sabbath is another. It's a great practice to reserve a day for the Lord, but not at the expense of common sense and not as a rule on how to be religious, but as a practice for the heart that brings you closer to God. The scribes and Pharisees didn't want to hear these things. From their point of view, the social and religious order was maintained through these laws and practices and traditions. And I agree that their point of view is well-founded and shouldn't be discarded for no reason. But Jesus' point is that if everyone just follows the rules without thinking, then their heart and soul are not in it. Jesus tells us to love God with all our heart, mind, and soul, not just our mind. The scribes and Pharisees, though, just see Jesus as a troublemaker, upsetting the apple cart. Of course, all these conclusions are not really possible without reading ahead. So it is interesting that here in the 21st verse of the first chapter, as far fast as Mark got us to this point, he now begins some of the mystery. If you don't know the rest of the story, the intrigue is there. What does Mark mean that Jesus teaches with authority? The point is to keep reading and find out. It's a great story. It's the good news. The kingdom of God has arrived. And our job is to take this information and apply it to our lives. Jesus doesn't want us to get stuck in traditions that don't mean anything to us. I'm not saying traditions are bad things. I think it's just as harmful to throw away a tradition that has meaning to us as it is to follow a tradition that has no meaning. Everyone is different and is moved by different traditions. Some want to stand during prayer. Others want to kneel. There is no right or wrong. Do what has meaning to you. Standing may allow you to feel the people around you. Kneeling may allow you to be one-on-one with God. I believe we should choose our practices with purpose. Genuflecting and crossing yourself provides great meaning to many, where to others it may feel showy. But knowing why you do or don't allows you to enhance your worship and your spirituality. Jesus' message was not really a new message. Loving God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and loving your neighbor as yourself is in the Old Testament. But as can happen, things can drift off course. The traditions that the Jews built after they were spread all over the land was for the purpose of creating a bond, something to have in common with each other, no matter where they were born and raised. Over time, though, traditions can become more important than the purpose for which they were created. That is Jesus' message, reminding everyone to go back to basics. Don't throw away the traditions, but don't worship the traditions. These are good lessons for all of us, especially Episcopalians. We are steeped in traditions. Hopefully, we can use these traditions to enhance our worship with God rather than allowing them to get in the way. I challenge you to embrace the traditions that have meaning for you and drop the traditions that don't have meaning for you. Maybe even begin new practices. St. Thaddeus is in a period of transition right now. This is a perfect time for us to examine our practices. What things do we do that promote growth and energy? What things do we need to let go of that are roadblocks? Unfortunately, some of those things may be things we love dearly, but if we're honest with ourselves, we know we need to let them go. Are we willing to listen to new, bold ideas, whether they come from you or the vestry or Pat or Perry or the diocese or a new rector or through whomever the Holy Spirit tries to deliver the message? Will we listen? Jesus' message in that synagogue is the same message we need to hear today. Love God with all your heart, mind, and soul. Love your neighbor as yourself. Be servants. Be advocates for those suffering social injustices and power inequality. Don't get stuck in traditions and practices that are roadblocks. He showed how it is easy to get off the path a little. And when we are off the path, we are trudging through weeds and bushes that prevent us from moving forward. Jesus' example is that we can get back on the path by embracing the foundation of the old, tossing old stuff that are roadblocks, even if they provide comfort and security, and applying what we keep in new ways. Are we willing to do those things? Rejoice, the kingdom of God has arrived. Amen.
Please stand with me and let us share our faith together by reciting the Nicene Creed, found on page 9 of your bulletin. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary, and he was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and a life of the world to come. Amen.
Prayers of the people are found on page 10. Father, we pray for your holy Catholic Church.
That we all may be one.
Grant that every member of the Church may truly and humbly serve you.
That your name may be glorified by all people.
We pray for all bishops, priests, and deacons. We pray for all who govern and hold authority in the nations of the world.
That there may be justice and peace on earth.
Give us grace to do your will in all that we undertake.
That our works may find favor in your sight.
Have compassion on those who suffer from any grief or trouble.
That they may be delivered from their distress.
Give to the departed eternal rest.
Let light perpetual shine upon them.
We praise you for your saints who have entered into joy.
May we also come to share in your heavenly kingdom.
Let us pray for our own needs and those of others, especially for those on our prayer list. For Margaret,
Jean, Steve, Nicole, Courtney and J.R., Blair, John and Joan, Paul, Marie, Chuck, Jimmy, Martha, Renee, Jaden, Ryan, Teddy, Richard, Regina, Irene, Larry and Sally, June, Michael, Joe, Laura, Baylor, Shay, Ed and Pat, Doug, Ed, Alberta, Tom, Angela, Tony, Jane, Tony, Zach, Betsy, Michael, Clara, Georgina, Judy, Joycey, Bernard, Russ, Jerry, Sarah, Bill, Martha, Shane, Judy, and Bill.
Are there any other petitions? We pray for the members of our armed forces. We give thanks for those celebrating birthdays this week, especially Drew Jones, Sally Sieg, Deb Bryant, John Hawkins, Gene Sieg, Tracy Costco, and Joseph Kemp.
Almighty and eternal God, ruler of all things in heaven and earth, mercifully accept the prayers of your people and strengthen us to do your will through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on you. Forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ. Strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life.
Amen.
Before we offer the peace, again, the health department says that the flu season has not peaked. They do not recommend people shaking hands. You can do the fist bump or just greet people with a great smile and an invisible hug. The peace of the Lord be always with you, and stay healthy.
Hi, Larry.
Hi, Larry.
Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God.
Thank you.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
Lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, because in the mystery of the Word made flesh, you have caused a new light to shine in our hearts, to give the knowledge of your glory in the face of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. You, O God, for the goodness and love which you have made known to us in creation, in the calling of Israel to be your people, in your word spoken through the prophets, and above all in the word made flesh, Jesus, your Son. For in these last days you sent him to be incarnate from the Virgin Mary, to be the Savior and Redeemer of the world. In him you have delivered us from evil and made us worthy to stand before you. In him you have brought us out of error into truth, out of sin into righteousness, out of death into life. On the night before he died for us, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread, and when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, according to his command, O Father, we remember his death. We proclaim his resurrection. We await his coming in glory. And we offer our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to you, O Lord of all, presenting to you from your creation this bread and this wine. We pray you, gracious God, to send your Holy Spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the sacrament of the body of Christ and his blood of the new covenant. Unite us to your Son in his sacrifice, that we may be acceptable through him, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In the fullness of time, put all things in subjection under your Christ and bring us to that heavenly country with Mary, Joseph, Mark, and all your saints, we may enter the everlasting heritage of your sons and daughters through Jesus Christ our Lord, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the church, and the author of our salvation. by him and with him and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Of God for the people of God. Body of Christ. Thank you. Let us pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart through Christ our Lord. Amen. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you today and remain with you forever. Amen.
Thank you.
Let us go forth into the world rejoicing in the power of the Spirit. Alleluia, alleluia.
Thanks be to God. Alleluia.